A little over a year ago, I put out a tweet where I said, the communications director is now the second most important job in a church. And I got a lot of pushback from that tweet, but I still stand by it. And in this episode today, we're going to talk about 8 reasons why your next hire at your church should be a communications director. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 81. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Going good. A little warm for a winter's day here in Austin, Texas. But I know that's a par for the course for you in Honolulu. So there you go.
It definitely is. It definitely is nice, warm beach weather, I would say. So we do get some change here. I will say, like, it does change from time to time. The temperature on average is about a 10 degree shift between July and January.
All of our listeners up north are very jealous of you right now. So yes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, well, we have a good conversation today. It's going to be, the title of the episode is why your next hire should be a church communications director. I think this is an important conversation. I put out a tweet probably in like May of 2020, where I said that because of the pandemic and in this new season, the church communications director became the second most important job in every single church. And I was met with all kinds of pushback, and some people said, psh, that's ridiculous, don't be absurd. And I don't know what their thinking on their ranking was or where you should rank people, but I stand by that. I still think that is the case. I think that I'm sure for most of our audience that having a full-time church communications director as a standalone position, that's not something they can pull off. But I think really thinking through the elements of communication and making sure that those roles are assigned to somebody, that is one of the most important things that you can do. And so as we've dug in and we've had some conversations, I think you agree with me on this, that just this is a super vital role for churches all over, because everything is communication nowadays. I mean, everything is about how you communicate. There's so much ministry that happens outside of sanctioned times at church.
Yeah.
And all the other communication and information that's passed along there, it is just, it's so vital. It's taking advantage of all that other time in the week there. So, agreed?
Yeah. Oh, totally agree. And I connect with so many communications directors, and I will say this, I connect with more of them over the past several years. And I think this was something that was actually already becoming the case even before the pandemic, I would say. I think, you know, the pandemic accelerated the necessity for good communication and someone to handle that role. Because of the internet, because of just our modern world and the way that churches operate now, I think that I would argue that was the case even before the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're probably right. It's just we didn't realize it until after the pandemic. And we said, oh, no, now we can't even communicate on Sunday mornings for a few weeks at least. Or in my case, for 18 months, we couldn't communicate on Sunday mornings. And so, here we have this ability to communicate outside of that. So, yeah, I think that's really it. So today, what we're going to go through is, I guess you could take it as almost like a job description or some of the things that a communications director, what they can do, what they should be doing, some of of those things for your church there. I think it'll be a helpful conversation. I think as we kind of brainstorm this and came up with those ideas, I think it's, I think it's for a lot of churches, you could see this as a full-time job. If you did all of these things and you're consistently keeping all of these plates spinning in the air, it is a big job for people to undertake there. So I'll go ahead and kick us off today. The first reason why your next hire should be a church communications director is you probably need help creating church statements, creating your church statements. Yeah. And by that, I mean your mission statement, your vision statement, your core values. So we talk to churches all the time. And how often do we hear one of two things? It's like we don't quite have our mission, vision, core values worked out yet, or we have our mission, vision, core values worked out, but it was the guy before me that did that, and we're kind of thinking about changing them, right? That's like the two most common answers. Very rarely do we hear someone say, we have our vision, mission, and core values all worked out. We love them. We're proud of them. We use them all the time, and they're working great for us. I think that a communications director can really help you in crafting those and helping you think through that. Really important, along with other people on your team. It's not going to be just a one-person job to do that. Right. It's something that takes a lot of input from other team members. But even more important, they can help you make those be part of the vernacular at your church. It's something that people use all the time, that it's used in all your communications, because we know that a mission or vision statement, they have zero value if nobody knows what they are, right? There's no real use to those if you don't ever say them and they're just something written on a document someplace that nobody ever sees. It really needs to be something that's communicated. So I think that helping you to create and keep those statements alive, that is a really important role for a communications director.
Yeah, I agree. And one other thing you made me think of was taglines, which are big now for marketing and web, what you do on the web. And how often do we come across a church that's not quite settled on what they have, or it's very lengthy, and they lean on us in our consultation to try to help them with that. And sometimes we can, but it's better suited for a communication director or someone communication wise would probably be better suited to think through that. Totally agree. And that's probably a good segue into the next one too, is keeping your communication concise is something that a communication director would do. So we have had this problem, and I say we, yours truly as well, when I pastored and just in ministry life, and every church struggles with probably staying on message and keeping things concise and consistent. We're very wordy also within churches. We have a lot to say. There's a lot that God has to say in the Bible, and there's a lot that, all of that. So I know that that's something too, is that a valuable trait that someone who's helping with your communication should have is helping you stay on message and repeating that often. I know that that's, it's probably something that we can get tired of saying the same things over and over again, but it's really important to keep a church on message and going.
Yeah, I think it's Andy Stanley who has said that, like, if you're starting to get sick of you saying your vision statement or your mission statement over and over again, that's probably a good sign that you're just starting to say it enough. Because you got to remember, the more you say things, and like we know this right from this podcast, right? It feels like sometimes how many different ways can we talk or include calls to action, or talking about call, like it's like our thing for every episode is, although I don't think we have that one in this one, but call to action, call to action. That's something we always talk about, and we feel like, oh my goodness, we're talking about it again. It should be so obvious at this point, but we have to remember that people, that even our most dedicated followers of this podcast, they may not be waiting or watching every single week. They might miss a week here and not have heard it for a few weeks. So if they hear once a month us talking about call to action, that might be okay. So same thing goes for your church. If you are saying your mission statement, over and over again, sometimes you think, man, people must be getting tired of hearing this. In reality, they're not hearing it anywhere near as much as you're saying it. It just feels like you're saying it a lot. So, and to your point about being concise and being, you know, really laser focused, and we can tend to be wordy. Lord knows that I definitely tend to go that way. I think that is such an important skill for a communications director or just people in general. I tell my kids that the most valuable skill they're going to learn in middle school, high school, it's going to be like the writing skills that they pick up there. I find that in my job, I know I'm sure in your job, all the written communication that we do now, that is so important. And if we are wordy and unclear in those things, it really can totally change the message and change people's experiences. So if we're really serious about discipling people and reaching them for Jesus, the more clear we can be with our communication, with our processes, all those things, the better off we'll wind up being. So yeah, they help you stay concise. That's important.
Yeah, good stuff.
Next one is they help you post on social channels consistently. This probably would be the biggest thing that a communications director can bring to your team as far as the actual time spent in doing this. Because I can't tell you, like, it is a giant wormhole when you go into the social media channels, and it can take so much effort and time and management and all of those things that go into managing a social profile to be able to really get those things dialed in. That's why, you know, churches will come to us sometimes and say, hey, you know, which social channel should I be doing? The right answer to that is only the one or two that you can manage to do, that you can keep up with.
Right.
And so if you're going to actively use these, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, but Facebook, you ought to be posting at least once a day. If you're going to be on Instagram, probably 3, 4, 5 times a week. If you're going to be on Twitter, you probably ought to be posting 3 to 5 different tweets every single day is how much it takes to kind of keep up with these channels and be using it adequately. Yeah. And so, you know, you can post less than that, but if you want to get the most out of it, you need to be consistently doing that. And that's a huge brand building challenge, I think, for pastors who are pulled in a million directions already, trying to remember to do that. And that's just the posting. Right. On top of that, you have all the interaction that actually makes social media social.
Thinking through what you're going to say.
Post. I mean, a good, let's say you do, we talked about doing scripture graphics. That would be something that a lot of churches, maybe you'll do that once a week. You have a plan where you do certain posts on certain days of the week. We had a whole episode dedicated to helping you think through that. But if you're doing a scripture graphic once a week, you have to think about what the scripture is that you want to share.
Yeah.
You have to get into Canva or any other editor you're going to do and make the graphic. You have to get the post ready. You have to add your other sub post to it. And then on top of that, you have all of the comments and interaction that people are going to say. So every time someone says, hey, I love that scripture, that means a lot to me, you want to write back and have a comment on that. Every time someone comments on Twitter, you want to retweet and you want to do those things. Yeah. And that is, we're talking to do just those three channels, which are probably the most important for churches. You're talking about dozens of hours a week, I would say, of actual work. And so that's where a lot of this time might be going, is to managing these kinds of profiles and keeping your social media active there. So big job.
And that's why it's worth it if you can, if it's within your church's budget to hire a communications director, or if it's not in your budget in your smaller church or whatever, to at least find someone on staff or someone heavily involved in the church to do that consistently. Because how many times have we heard that, and again, if you have a volunteer that's doing an amazing job of that and keeping up with it, then great. But how often do we hear that's not the case? You know, someone was maybe doing it for a couple of months and then it fell off and you haven't posted or anything for months. So
that's a good point. I would try to get that person, because it's such a big job. You're exactly right. Like, unless you have someone that doesn't need other work, I think that this is something you probably want to pay someone to do. If you don't want to take it on as part of your own job as a pastor or leader of a church there. But I think this needs to be in someone's job description, and know that 10 hours a week or something like that at least is going to be spent managing these profiles. That's really important.
Yeah, good. I'll get the next one, and this is a biggie too. It's you need this person, this communications director, to help build your assimilation communication process. So,
yeah.
And I like how we specifically put that in the point that it's build your assimilation communication process, because you may not lean on a communication director. You may, but to build the whole assimilation process, but the communication process of it, the order of it, what you're saying, and,
yeah.
and all of that. I mean, how many churches do you and I both consult and come across that as soon as we ask about what a church is doing for assimilation, it's most of the time, I would say, a work in progress, but
exactly.
something that is so vital to yeah. do for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, the communication around it. I mean, so what we're talking about here is crafting that sequence of emails that a first-time visitor gets, or helping you think through the text messages that you're sending out to them, and making sure that you really clearly communicate in each one of those pieces of communication, what you want somebody to do next, how they can take their next step into life at the church, all of those kinds of things. I even would put into there some of the language that you cover in whatever your starting point, growth track, membership classes are. I find that most churches, they either just took whatever Rick Warren did with his class system yeah. and then modified it, or took whatever ARC churches offer and modified it. And made it there. You probably want to have someone spend a little bit of time in making sure that those are really tailored for your church. And I imagine a lot of our audience are saying, yeah, you know, I've been meaning to get to that, but I just haven't had yep. the time because it's such a big undertaking. I see this copywriting and just content creation is such an easy thing to back burner for people,
yeah.
but it is so important. I think we all know innately that we have to get to it, but it is something that's kind of such a big undertaking that we're yeah. sometimes scared to kind of jump in on it with that. So yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Good.
You reminded me that our worship pastor at our church, when the pandemic happened, I was talking to him, and he was like, you know, I was just doing worship before, and now I've become a copywriter and a content creator, and
yeah.
it's just not my thing. So again, better suited to probably a communication director. So that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm in agreement there. So next good. One is handle your weekly newsletter, your church newsletter. So many of our people we talk to, this is the king of the afterthoughts, right? The weekly yeah. church newsletter is just something that we have always done. We kind of have to do it. We don't like doing it. We don't really see any value in it. It's yeah. just something that we do to kind of make sure all the announcements we talked about on Sunday, to make sure that they're in email form as well. And yeah. it has to be more valuable to you than that. If that's your only reason, find a reason to get rid of it. You don't need to do that anymore. Yeah. But I would say that rather than just getting rid of it, your best bet is to maybe change the purpose of your weekly newsletter there, because I think that weekly newsletters can be very valuable. We've talked a lot about that on episodes of the podcast before, yeah. but really the purpose of this is to help people take that next step towards becoming a part of the church family, or taking the next step to growing closer to be more like Jesus, to move yeah. further in the discipleship process and growing in those ways there. So it is not just a way to talk about events. You need to be really thinking about this each week, week in and week out. And I think for most churches, having someone that is the champion of your church newsletter and takes responsibility for it, that really is important. So managing that is going to be a big part of their job.
That's good. I don't have much to add there. Newsletters are still very relevant for sure.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to think through with that and communicate. So next one, if I can tackle that, and this one might be one that a pastor says, huh, really? Because it comes off as so technical, but that's have a communications director handle local SEO for you. Now, SEO is a term, means search engine optimization, but it's a term that a lot of pastors now are more aware of than ever yeah. before. You know, 5 years ago, I talked to a pastor like, no, what's that? Now, most pastors are aware or have some sort of an idea what it is, but being visible online when people yep. are searching is extremely important. And there are some simple steps that someone doesn't have to be super technical for. Now, there's deeper steps that are technical and take some help. And possibly your communication director will want to outsource this work to someone or a company and be the point person to communicate with them, because there is a lot of work with it and some technical pieces. But how vital is that now? Everyone is Googling everything from these, and you want to be visible there and rank well. So, and it is time consuming, much like the newsletter we just talked about and other things. So having someone handle this as well is a good thing.
Yeah, I think that what the communications director, what their role is in local SEO, it has more to do with what people are going to read and see and hear about your church. So there's all the technical stuff of, like, you know, getting your church listed on dozens and dozens of different directories out there, and making sure you're using the right kind of key terms and those things. And so that might be something that makes sense to outsource to do that somewhere else. So what the key to local SEO, though, just so our clients, or I guess our Retried family here, knows what this is about. This is about getting people, when they search with a local intent, so they're searching for something like churches near me, to getting your church to rank in the Google Map Pack. So the very top of most searches now is going to be the top three results that are right in their area there, and getting to rank on that. Now, the thing about that is that those people that, when you rank on that, you are not typically going on to, people aren't going on to your website from there. They see you ranking there, and they'll see how to get to your church. They'll see the information you put in your Google profile. They'll see the pictures that you put in your Google profile. They'll see all of that information. So tailoring the way your Google business profile looks and the words you have on there, that really is the communications director's job, to making sure that some of that same messaging, what you guys want to say about yourself, is consistent and it's put out on your Google business profile there. So that's the key thing, I would say. Lots of other things can be said about that. We, in fact, have a whole episode coming up next week that's going to be all about the difference between local SEO and organic SEO, but just SEO in general for churches.
Right.
I think it'll be really helpful to everybody that's listening to this one here. So that'll be good. Cool. Next one. I'm sorry, did you have something else there?
No, I didn't. As a matter of fact, I was just going to say, I'm glad you pointed out, other than the technical stuff, that it's communicating. It's what people see and hear about your church. So that's a good point.
Yeah, that's it. So, all right, next one, back to, you know, we're talking about Google Business Profile. This next one is that you actually need this person to manage your website content as well. The days where you had to have a technical master doing your church website, those are long gone now. The average person that can edit a Facebook profile, or they can get in there and put together tweets or edit Word documents, they probably have the skill set, or at least with a little bit of help, they can figure out how to make normal content edits to a website. Now, we're not talking about building a website. That's a different beast, and that might be a different skill set. But when it comes to the, once a website is built, most of your work is going to be in continuing to keep content up to date, always adding new content. That's all part of that. So the main ways this happens for churches is adding sermons, adding events, and making any other little changes that have to happen on your church website. But sermons and events, those are the two big things. We really encourage churches to blog as well, too. I think if you have leaders blog, that is great. But here's the thing, is you need your communications director to help you make sure that the content on your sermon posts, your event posts, is totally and perfectly dialed in the right way. So like sermons, we talk about this, that one of the biggest mistakes we make is just putting the video out there and a title and letting it speak for itself, because you need to actually have more content than that if you want people to be interested in clicking on it, to dig in deeper, to want to listen. So you really need to be thinking about what you want to say on each of these posts. Same thing goes for events. How, we know from doing church announcements that if you just say, hey, Vacation Bible School's this week, it starts on Monday at 9. If you just say that, no one's going to come to VBS this year, right? You need to talk about why it's important and the reason behind it and why we do it and how we need volunteers. Yeah. And so all of that needs to be reflected the same way on your website when you're creating events. Yeah. A communications director can help with that.
Yeah. And there's been a saying in the web world for years now that still holds true. And this was the case, almost 15 years ago when you and I first kind of got into this industry, that content is king.
Right.
And I think now with churches understanding the importance of your website and social media and everything that you do online, content's become even more important because it used to be that, can we just get some people to get onto our website and, you know, just have some basic information there. It's more in depth now. What you're saying to who you're trying to reach and communicate to is vital. So having someone think through that's even more important now.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. So
good. I'll bring us home. Last one's awesome. Not least, last but not least is you need this person to help create video content. That is so vital now. And I think most people know that. I can't even tell you how many, not just church websites, but when I look on a church's social media presence as well, just the lack of video. Now, I will say churches have done a much better job of boosting this and stepping up to the plate with this since the pandemic.
Yep.
Because churches knew we had to get online and for people to watch our services and to, you know, connect with people. So we've seen an increase in video, and even not just with sermons, but there's so many different creative things you can do with video. But people are visual. That's nothing has changed, especially, your millennials, Gen Zers and on, even more visual than we are as I guess you're barely a millennial. I'm barely a Gen Xer. I'm almost a millennial by 1 year. But anyway, so all that being said, even for us, it's important. But I think for this next generation, I mean, as much video content out there, so you need someone handling this. So it can't just be a sporadic video once a year.
Yeah.
So
I just thought, this is kind of an aside, but I just noticed that you talked about, I think 5 years ago, we all would have been like, I'm not a millennial. One of those millennials, those guys are like, they had all those, we just made fun of, they were the butts of all jokes were millennials. Yeah. Right. And now our tune has changed.
Man buns and onesies and all that.
But our tune has changed nowadays, where it seems to me like you're saying that, you know, I'm not a Gen X. I'm almost millennial. I'm kind of more like a millennial at heart, not really a Gen Xer so much. So
I wouldn't have said that until I turned 40. So how about that?
So. There you go. So for videos, I think a couple of ones, just so our audience knows what we're thinking about. These are videos like welcome videos. Those are great on your website. So like a 60-second video. I think a communications director can help you really hone in, because really it's about being concise and clear. If you have 60 seconds, because no one's going to listen to a 9-minute welcome video.
No.
You want a 1 minute, maybe 90 seconds, something like that.
Yeah.
Being super concise, and because you really only have like 5 or 6 sentences you can get out in that time. So making sure that you really hone that in and say exactly what you want to say, that's big. We're seeing more and more churches doing kind of explainer videos for some of their key ministries, youth ministry, children's ministry, men's, women's, those kinds of things. Again, short videos, but helping you really craft that message. A communications person can do that. Now, they're not going to necessarily have, maybe you'll get one and you'll have a unicorn that does all the video editing and all that stuff too. But in most cases, you'll need someone else to do all of that. But really, it is two different jobs. It's like thinking the person filming in Hollywood isn't the same guy writing the script, and that's not the same guy doing the editing, right? So these are two wildly different skill sets, the editing and creation of videos and actually creating content and writing the scripts for these videos. Totally different skill sets, totally different sides of the brain, I would even say. One's more of a creative, one's more of a technical skill set. So your communications director is going to be the person who's going to be great for something like that.
That's good. That is good.
Cool. Well, good. Well, guys, thank you so much for being a part of our Reach Right family. I hope this has been a helpful conversation to you. I hope that you can, or you start to consider how you could maybe incorporate a communications director onto your team there if you don't have one already. I think even if it is, if you only have the budget for a volunteer person, getting someone to start to champion these areas, that is one of the most important things that you can do. So hopefully this conversation was helpful on what that job is going to look like. If it has been helpful, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, subscribe. Let us know in the comments if it has been helpful to you. We want to thank you so much for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we hope to catch you next week.
See ya.
thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ready to get funky.